It's happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to you. You're driving through the city of Detroit, and you see a giant vacant parcel of land. You say, God, it's got great location. There's great potential there. Why the heck isn't somebody developing it? Well, the fact is maybe our tax structure and the way we tax property in the city of Detroit is preventing that. It's actually disincentivizing it. At least that has been the narrative up here on Mackinac as Mayor Mike Duggan rolled out perhaps the most interesting proposal, which is changing the way we tax property to take away those disincentives. Mayor Mike Duggan joins us today on the Guy Gordon Show along with Richard Hosey, who's one of the developers that's making changes to places in the city of Detroit. Gentlemen, good morning.
Morning, Guy.
Good morning.
So put the what's wrong with our taxing system now? Put it in and put it in the context of what I was just saying. We look at our windshield and we see this potential and it's not happening.
Well, what we want to do is cut the property taxes for homeowners in Detroit 25% across the board. And what I pointed out yesterday is that we tax almost zero on vacant land, and we have the highest taxes in the state on building. And when you do that, you get lots of vacant land and not nearly enough buildings. And so after two major studies said, cut the tax on the building, raise the tax on the land, we put forward a proposal that would benefit tremendously. If you own a house or rent a house in Detroit, it'll benefit tremendously if you're building in the city.
But we tax value in this country, in this state, and in this city. This kind of turns everything upside down.
Well, it's unique to Detroit in that if you were taxing the suburbs, the land has value, the buildings have value, and communities get their property tax off both the land and the building. In Detroit, there's so much vacant land that the assessors have set it at basically zero, which I can't really argue with, and that means all the property taxes come from the buildings, and they kept raising them and raising them over the year to keep the schools going and the like. But we think we can replace that money effectively by tripling the tax on the land.
Because basically the problem that you see now is we have people that speculate. They will buy a large chunk of land, and they will sit and wait and wait and wait for things to happen. And there's no disincentive to do that because the taxes are so low they can do it at not zero cost, but at low cost. You want to raise the cost of holding.
Well, the average tax on a vacant parcel is $30 a year. And we got 30,000 people paying their $30 every year and keeping that land vacant. And, of course, the city has to cut the grass. The city has to pick up the illegal dumping because they aren't maintaining their property. But worse than that are these. We have 1,000 vacant buildings in this city. And once the assessor has said the building has deteriorated to the point where it's not usable, the tax on the building is zero, which means now you're taxing the land. The tax on the land is close to zero.
So, Richard, how much tax relief would you get under this plan as a developer? And I think you're working on a project near I-75 and I-94.
Right.
How would that change the numbers on that?
So for the larger buildings, because there's such a big building on a smaller plot of land, so it would be helpful. But the large developers they're already going through this process with the abatements and the like. This, where this really gets to are the individual homeowners, the small business owners, the people who are not practiced at going through this larger abatement long process. Mm-hmm. And so it really gives them this direct benefit that's normally involves so much paperwork and time so that they can get out there and get right to fixing up their homes, putting together these smaller vacant commercial parcels and opening up businesses in our neighborhoods.
So do you think, will it do away the need for the abatements and some of the sprinkles on top you have to ask for as a developer now to level the playing field?
So it would have some effect over the long run and encourage development, but the huge effect is for the individual, the homeowner, and the much smaller developer, the person, the Detroiter who wants to get the house next door and maybe turn that into a rental. It gives them that process right away without all the paperwork.
So in simple terms, Guy, we right now have the highest commercial tax rate in America. You can't do anything without an abatement. When this passes, if we can pass it, we're about the same rate as Ferndale and Ann Arbor. Now, there's times when a project's so important, Ferndale and Ann Arbor does an abatement, mm-hmm. but it's not every single project, and that's what we want to get to.
Right, because there's kind of a weird addiction that's happened because of that. So give me the 10-year look back. We're 10 years out from this. You do it. You get it done statutorily, constitutionally, however you have to do it. Will we have more owner-occupied homes? Does $250, is that going to be a game changer to... to get people in?
Will you tell me $200 a month off of your mortgage, how many more people will be buying, or will be buying a bigger house? That will certainly help. I think you'll see a number of the parking lots downtown get converted to development, because it'll be very expensive to keep operating as a parking lot, but you're going to get a huge tax cut if you build on it. I think you'll see fewer salvage and scrap yards, which right now we tax them at virtually zero as they spread out. You look at all the things that we have incentivized with this tax structure, and we've done it for 50 years. Now we want to change that direction.
What does have to happen for this to get done? Is it a legislative change? Is it a constitutional change? Someone said, ask the mayor about Article 9, Section 3 of the state constitution, which says you have to tax everything, treat all property equally.
You have to treat the classes equally. So all land will be treated and taxed exactly the same way as land. All improvements will be treated exactly the same way as improvements. Jay Rising, with former state treasurer, drew this up. But there are two things that have to happen. One is and Speaker Joe Tate is leading this, we have to get authorizing legislation through Lansing this fall, and then we have to go to a vote of the people of Detroit, because only the people of Detroit can raise the
village
land tax.
Yeah.
And so that would be a vote that happens with the presidential election in February or March.
So we had a story that came out during the week that the District Detroit rents, the rent structure that we have in the city of Detroit, now this was a third-party report, will not support the costs there. Are you worried that we're not building a white elephant, but we're building something that's unsustainable, that the market's not going to sustain what's being built?
Stephen Ross is the largest developer in America. He built Hudson Yards in Manhattan. He doesn't need my advice or some analyst advice on how to develop.
You're not looking at that report as a flashing caution light.
What the report was doing was they've gone to the state for a so-called transformational brownfield incentive, and you have to show that without that incentive, you couldn't build it. What that report showed was that without that incentive, you couldn't build it. And even with that incentive, it goes on to say, if it weren't somebody as experienced as Stephen Ross, these numbers would be suspect. But I think everybody has full confidence in Ross.
You had some great announcements yesterday regarding Detroit unemployment. 4.2%.
Is that remarkable? I took
office
at 18%. We're now at 4.2%. Anybody who wants a good-paying job in Detroit today can get one. And Nicole Sherrard Freeman, the Detroit at Work program, of course, is providing training for all of those openings. It's very exciting to be able to say to anybody who wants a job, we'll train you, and you can do what you love.
Are we now in a difficult or maybe different challenge, which is finding enough people to fill the jobs we have?
Which we're
seeing across the state.
We've had that issue with people cleaning buses. We've had some jobs. We've had trouble filling at the city. And you talk to anybody who owns a restaurant in Detroit,
right?
And they will tell you that's an issue. I'd much rather have this issue than what I had 10 years ago, which is basically depression-level unemployment where you couldn't get a job no matter how hard you tried.
Give me your assessment of where we are in terms of return to work in the city of Detroit. And, I mean, just in terms of foot traffic, and I see it at the Fisher Building, people that work downtown on the Rens End see it. We're a great nighttime city. My God, we're right back to where we are, if not beyond where we were pre-pandemic. Daytime, not so much. How far have we come back in your estimation, and how far do we have to go?
Yeah, most of the big employers are probably back at about 50%, and a lot of them are never going to have people work more than 3 days a week. But as you say, we're transitioning. The Detroit I remember, 6 o'clock at night, the streets were empty. Saturday, there was nobody around. But what we're seeing is, and we're going to continue to see, are those office spaces converted to housing. Mm-hmm. Of course, the David Whitney Building used to be an office building.
Right.
It is now all apartments. And now you're going to have more and more people living downtown. Those who do want to work from home, they don't want to wake up in the suburbs and go to sleep in the suburbs.
No, they want to wake up in Richard's project.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So when you test the market demand right now, obviously you're moving forward with your project, but how robust is it?
It's very robust. What we really like is that the more you do, the more people come. And so we're not hitting saturation points. Instead, we're building greater and greater density because people – They want to see more activity, and the more buildings come online, the more excitement goes.
There's an awful lot of discussion here about the battery plants and the SOAR fund and the incentives that are out there right now to bring the jobs of the future here. But, I mean, I'm sure it's not lost on you that the biggest battery plants are happening out in the green fields. Are we doing enough to encourage brownfield development within the confines of the city of Detroit to do more conversion of these industrial properties and now leverage what is going to be a better tax environment?
Well, on the Cadillac stamping plant, they just built the Lear seating plant. On the abandoned AMC site, we're about to have another auto supplier. But Jim Farley sat with me when he started site of the battery plants and said, "You got any 500-acre sites for me?" I said, in Detroit, we don't have more than 50 acres contiguous. You look out, right. You see where the houses used to be. So Detroit is never going to be able to compete for the 500-acre sites. But when it's the supplier parts, the 30, the 40, the 50-acre seating plants, dashboard plants, those kinds of things, we're winning.
All right. Well, unfortunately, because they're not as controversial, you're not making as big headlines as we used to. And maybe that's a good thing. I mean, now these have become routine deals, and they don't get as much fanfare.
Detroit, you know, I mean, the people at Amazon, we built that 4 million square foot Amazon center, said Detroit was the easiest city in the country for Amazon to locate a distribution center. So we're out of the newspapers on drama. Even council on the District of Detroit voted 8-1. Tremendous
right.
courage on council members' part.
Yeah. Well, and maybe the fact that we're not making news is refreshing, isn't it?
It's okay with me.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, that's the kind of the Duggan culture that we've come to expect here. Richard, congratulations on the project.
Thank you very much. Best wishes
as you start to build new housing for Detroiters. Mayor, it's always great to see you. Congratulations on the unemployment rate. I know that's something that has been a goal for a long time.
Thanks, Guy.